Welcome. I am William Evans, and you are listening to a Living World Conversation with Deanna Janay. Welcome, Deanna.
Hi, Will. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. And you recently returned from the mountain.
Yes, the big mountain here in the valley that overlooks everybody.
Beautiful. Yeah. What can you tell us about being in relationship with her?
Well, I'm pretty new to the valley and have felt that part of my moving here has a lot to do with her. She is a very strong influence, and I know that many people come to this valley because they feel they have a connection to the mountain. I have felt some connection to the mountain. Obviously, I moved here, but I also have known that I needed to be very careful in assuming that that mountain wanted to have a connection with me. And so I've been waiting. And last winter, I was sitting and looking at the mountain as I was speaking with a client. And all of a sudden, I felt a very strong pull to the mountain. And I knew that I needed to build a relationship, build an alliance with the mountain. But it was winter and difficult to get close to her. So I've waited until now.
And so you went to her to honor your connection and relationship.
Yeah, I went to begin to build a connection, to begin to build an alliance with the mountain. I haven't felt like I had the, what could you say, the permission to actually honor the connection yet, because I hadn't really even ventured to speak to her or take offerings to her. So what I did is I listened to see what she would want for me to begin to open that door to a connection.
And did you get some response?
I did. I got responses starting about 2 weeks ago. I started hearing some of the things that she likes. And so I began to gather, like a little squirrel, gathering up all the little goodies that I would take to her to just say hello. And basically that's all I did, is I said hello, I introduced myself and made some offerings of food and flowers and tobacco. And I felt very satisfied. I felt very happy to have made her acquaintance.
Lovely.
Thank you.
So when the human soul finds its place in connection with the rest of creation, it finds peace and joy in being alive in a living world story.
Yes, there's several things that help us to connect with others, and peace and joy are several of those things. So is compassion and vitality and helpfulness and healing and happiness. Those are also attributes that bring a sense of connection to other. And I think when we talk about connection, we are feeling our heart and listening to our heart. And when we listen to our heart, that brings a sense of satisfaction, a sense of peace and love and joy.
So you connected with her with your heart as a humble spiritual being.
as another, the other being other than human. Yes, I connected in that way. Yeah. And there is a sense of peace coming down off the mountain after that. There's a sense of joy. And I didn't just go to the mountain. I also went to the springs, the spring waters, because that's part of her gift to us, are the spring waters and the source, and gave some offerings to the spring waters and gratitude, lots of gratitude, because water is life-giving. And then I went to the Colorado River. And I've gone to Crystal River a number of times and say thank you. So I went to the Colorado River because that's a great source water for all of the Western, you know, states, Western peoples. So, and she's part of that, you know, the mountain is part of that river. We're all connected. So I did a big circumnavigation, you might say.
Yes, she's a source water mother.
She is. She really is.
So in paying your respects to the mountain, did you meet other spiritual beings?
The cow, yeah.
You met a cow? A
lot of cows.
Oh, they're up there grazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess I usually get there before they do. And
yeah, it's a little late. But, you know, cows are so docile, except maybe the bull with all his herd. You have to be a little careful, but they're really beautiful beings. And but I did meet some other beings. As soon as I came down off the mountain, there was a deer right in front of me. And a little bit further down was a mama grouse with her chicks. And, oh, she was adorable. She was so careful with those little babies. And so I felt very blessed with those two beings. And a blue heron flew over my head.
Wow.
Yeah, which spoke to me as a good sign of doing what I needed to do, you know, to pay my respects to the mountain.
Say more about what it means to you to build an alliance.
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about this, and building alliance doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be the same. And obviously, when you build an alliance with the natural world, we are very different beings, but we depend on each other. We depend on each other for a lot, like the waters, the source water from the mountain. We really depend on that source water. From these animals, we depend on, well, I think you know how you feel when you meet a deer or you would meet a mama grouse with her babies. You know, it just fills your heart. You just feel it. We depend on these animals to keep balance in the world. And that is, to me, that is so important. And that's why I go to the mountain, why I say hello to the rivers. I want balance. I want the world to be in balance. There's a saying in Mayan, and I may have said this before, but the word is in la kesh, and it means I am another of yourself. And I feel that way with all beings, that I am another of them. And to see everybody as allied, you might say, can bring a lot of peace to the world. We may not be the same, you know, we may not have the same ideas, but our hearts are the same.
Do you have an alliance with Circle?
I do. I have a big alliance with Circle. You know, the mind will go off in a direction, in a linear direction, and that linear direction takes up a lot of energy and eats up a lot of energy. It takes a lot of power to power a line, you know, going in a line. But in a circle feeds upon itself. It's regenerative. It feeds itself. You know, something is born, it lives, and then it dies. And we eat the plants, we eat the animals, we drink the water. So we're taking in the nourishment, but at the expense of something dying. Yet that's how life works in a circle. And so it regenerates itself. It has a very interesting way of making energy for life to go round. I also have a relationship with the circle in the directions, where the directions east and west, south and north, those directions are important to me because it gives me a place to stand in the world. I know where I am because of those directions in that circle. And I think that's true for everybody, but we may not be aware of that.
Yes. And for me, circle fosters wholeness, mm-hmm. respect, cooperation, flexibility, and acceptance. So these qualities can become inherent in everything I do.
It's beautiful, Will. Yeah. I think also it holds diversity, which is really important to be open to the curiosity of diversity in the world.
And it's continually amazing to me that I'm in a circular exchange with plants.
Oh, say more.
Well, I breathe in what the plants exhale.
Mm.
They breathe in what I exhale. And I do this consciously and deliberately. And when I do, I come into respect with the plant kingdom. I'm awake in a living world story.
Yes, all the time. We wouldn't have the air and the oxygen and the pure air to breathe if we didn't have plants.
And we need what each other give.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to a conversation about alliances with Deanna Janae. When I respect myself, I'm able to extend respect to others and the creation we inhabit.
It starts with yourself, doesn't it? That self-respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my impulse toward authenticity is strengthened when I'm aware of what I feel and I begin taking care of myself.
Yes, and I think taking care of ourselves is bigger than going to the spa. Taking care of ourselves is really acknowledging the relationships all around us. And in some ways, we, like you said, we feed those relationships through our breath. And they feed us. Those relationships feed us. And in doing that, like I was talking about the circle, you have a sense of where you are in the world and who you are in the world, really only by relating to others. It's the only way that you can see yourself is through the other. And it may be your pet dog or cat, but it may be also the animals of the natural world and the plants and the trees and even the reflection from the river that you receive. You know you're alive.
Yeah, and being alive in relationship is beautiful, and not being in relationship is very lonely and painful.
Oh, it is so lonely and painful. It, well, I kind of gave a a little list of what it takes to be connected to each other. And, you know, there are even scientific studies done about connection and how humans need others, how we need to even like the old ways of sitting by the fire with each other. That brings about a sense of connection. And you don't have to necessarily agree with everything that anybody says. You can still be there in relationship with others and be curious and open yourself to a sense of wonder and learning from each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I go silent and freeze when I feel like someone does not respect me, my heart contracts in confusion, and it's amazing what happens if I can step into that relationship with my heart and with kindness.
You know, our minds have a lot to contribute to that heart shutting down and going into fear when you don't feel respected. But I think what you're saying is we can engender respect by being open and staying open. And it's a process, and it's a learning to stay open.
It is, and it's not easy.
It's not easy.
But it's amazing when I do it and when I don't contract.
Yeah. And even if you do contract and you catch yourself, you can breathe and re-regulate yourself to be open-hearted again.
And so another word for that in some ways is agency.
Mm.
The capacity for me to take care of myself, even though I realize that was a little sharp.
Yeah.
That was hurtful.
Yeah.
It's incredible to be with people who don't take that in. And it's a great teaching and wonderful experience.
It's huge. Agency has a lot to do with not taking responsibility for another person's actions. Right? And just knowing yourself, like being in the center of that circle that we were talking about earlier, like really being centered. That's having agency.
And exercising agency is powerfully healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you move out of the fearful flight or fight place in your body, you might say, and you move into your heart again. So agency has so much to do with heart, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And I guess the other reality of this that I would say is when I'm distracted and get in my head about something, my heart connection with myself weakens.
Yeah. I've been practicing breathing a lot lately.
I understand that. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, slowing
and
the breath
being
down.
Just being aware of breathing.
Exactly.
Just being, and not the noise in my head or what I think my heart feels.
Yeah.
If it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's amazing how powerful that breath is. And then going back to connecting to the plants and everybody else that's breathing the same air that we're breathing. It's pretty amazing how it can be healing.
Well, in this time, it's easy for our heads to be full, but our hearts to go bewildered.
Yeah, confusion is a state of mind. And I think confusion has a lot to do with forgetfulness, forgetting who we are and forgetting the agency forgetting our connection to everything, really. You know, we live in this World Wide Web, and the World Wide Web sounds like the internet, which is pretty miraculous, but there's even a bigger web that we are all connected to.
Right.
Yeah. And that forgetfulness, you know, it's back to the word in Lakesh, you are another of myself, brings us back to center and back to our hearts.
The other thing that's profound for me is how transformative listening is.
Yeah, I think, again, the breath is so important, because when we're in conversation with another and the world is going by so quickly on that linear line rather than the circular, we just don't always take time to really listen. And listening is, I think listening is one of the most profound attributes of respect, is listening.
I agree. And for many thousands of years, our ancestors held it together in circles around a central fire, listening and talking and tending their alliances over time with a level of competence that allowed us to get here.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah. Thanks for reminding us. It is a very deeply human thing to do.
So one of the questions is, can we thrive as human beings in circles of alliances today?
I think thrive is an operative word. Thriving is so much bigger than surviving, and thriving means intention, and it brings about a sense of connection but also agency at the same time, you know, agency and connection working together as two forces that help us to have this sense of belonging, this sense of place, a sense of home. And I think a circle and connecting in that way can really help our hearts to heal. I feel like our hearts need to heal, because we've, in some ways, a lot of us have missed that circle, that ancient way of connecting with each other.
Right. And the particular cycle we're in right now, as you alluded to earlier, consumes energy.
Mm-hmm.
But circular processes and structures facilitate the flow of energy.
Right.
So as I begin to heal and wake up in a circle, other people will potentially have their own experience of that.
Well, you know, we talked earlier today about that World Wide Web, the web that we're all connected to, and how we're intrinsically connected to each other. And when one person comes into the circle and begins to live their life from that place of centeredness and from the heart, it radiates out and affects all those around in a bigger circle, concentric circles.
So you think talking circles can help us build connection through alliances?
Absolutely, yeah. I think so. And what's beautiful about that is there's a, you might say, an inherent agreement that we accept diversity, we accept differences, and that we don't all have to be the same to sit in the circle. And that diversity is what makes life very interesting.
Well, and each of us in our own way can come out of a talking circle alive, balanced, and strong in our own flavor.
Exactly. And may even have some new material to work with. You know, we kind of say updating our files. You know, you may begin to see something differently or have a broader, more expansive way of seeing things. You know, I was thinking about our relationship with the plant world, and how do you make an alliance with, say, a vegetable you don't like? And so I was thinking about kale, because kale isn't for everybody. Not everybody likes kale, right? But kale has something very important to offer. Kale offers calcium. Kale is a very strong bone builder. And so how do we get kale? We water it. We make sure that the soil is really rich so that it can grow and have all the nutrients that we want for our bodies. And so we have a mutually beneficial relationship going on. Even if we don't really like kale, there may be ways to build a better relationship with kale, say adding a little flavoring or something that you do enjoy. But kale is there to benefit you, and we're there to benefit kale. That would be an alliance.
And when you broke your arm, did you eat some kale?
I ate a lot of kale. I still am.
Okay, great. Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you.
This is Katie NK, and you've been listening to A Living World Conversation with Deanna Janae. Thank you for listening.